You're listening to the Restoration City Church podcast. We are a non-denominational Christian church located in Reynoldsburg, Ohio. We thank you for taking time out to listen to this message. It is our prayer that something said ministers to you. For more information about this ministry, please visit www.myrestorationcity.org. Now the message from our lead pastor, Brian D.J. Robinson, already in progress.
He does get better. God is a wonderful God. He is a merciful God. He is a loving God. He loved us enough that he sent his only begotten son to die for us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, yet they should have everlasting life. And I don't take that lightly. A lot of us, sometimes we've been in church our entire lives. We know how to dance. We know how to shout. We know how to look the part. But how many of us have truly had a heart conversion? I won't say that I have the argument a lot, but I know that I've talked to a lot of people, and we go back and forth about Romans 10:9 and what it really means to be saved. And the biggest thing that I constantly say is, have you truly had a heart conversion? You know, you can confess with your mouth, but do you really believe in your heart? And then some people say, yeah, I do. But guess what? If you do, there's some evidence that you do believe. There's some changes that you'll have. And I like to say, nobody's perfect. At the end of the day, we all have issues and we have things that we are dealing with. You know, we begin from a place of perfection. How many of you all have graduated school or gone through school? If you start the semester, you start the year off with an A. It is your job to maintain that A. We start off from a place of perfection because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And then it is up to us whether or not we maintain that place of perfection. But the beautiful thing about that place of perfection is that even if we mess up, there's already been put in place a do-over or a makeup test for us to come back and get back right where we were. And to me, that is a beautiful thing. But if you have your Bibles, you don't have to turn there. This isn't even really part of the sermon. But the first thing, I just want us to go to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. And we'll begin reading at the 34th verse. And I'm going to go ahead and jump in as you guys are navigating there. But it's Matthew, the 22nd chapter. And we're going to begin at the 34th verse. But the word of God says this: but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Like I said, this isn't the message for tonight, but tonight I want to pose a question as we go into the message. Do we love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind? As we answer that question, I then pose the second question. Do we love our neighbor as we love ourselves? Two very important questions that we have to ask ourselves as we navigate and as we maneuver within the kingdom of God and within this world. Because if we are true to ourselves and we believe both of those and we are flowing in both of those, there's nothing that can stop us, but there is also no one that we can harm. Within the body of Christ, there's a lot of church hurt. There's a lot of things that have happened to people. They leave the church. They never come back to the church. They love God with all their heart. They love Jesus. But we've done some things to them that have prevented them from coming to the house of God and being fully plugged in to what God's purpose is for their life. And the thing that I notice, whenever there's an issue, when someone has been offended, when there's an issue, when something has gone wrong, it is because the person who did what they did to that other person were not flowing with these two. That person, first off, did not love the Lord thy God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind. Because if they had, they would be in the position to love their neighbor as they love themselves. if that's where we get into a place to where our world and to where our cities are becoming chaotic, and where we are in a position to where we are burying more people than I have seen in a long time. I said it in December of 2015. I said that this is going to be a year of unusual death. And a lot of times we get a word from God, we get a prophecy from God, and we write it in our book, we put it somewhere, and we forget about it. Not only did we say that it's going to be a year of unusual death, but we said this is a year of acceleration, right? Divine acceleration. That's still true. Some people ask the question, well, how can we excel with all of this chaos and all of this death going on? The reason is because there's a remnant. The reality of our Bible already says that the world is going to get worse. There's going to be chaos amongst those that we encounter all around us. But when we put ourselves in a position to be in the will of God and to be in the divine alignment of God, we, yes, will move with the spirit of acceleration. And many of us in this house have, those who are watching on Facebook and Periscope, they have been divinely accelerated. And the reason the enemy is bringing about all this death around us is for us to get discouraged and for us to get in a position to say, God, I've been fasting, I've been praying, I've been doing all these things, but why is all of this chaos happening around me? He wants you to believe that all the praying you've done has not worked. He wants you to believe that all the fasting you've done has not worked. But on the contrary, the only reason the devil is rising up and causing these things to happen is because we're in the right place at the right time. The reason the enemy in the city of Reynoldsburg right now is bringing chaos, more death than we have seen in this city in a very long time, is because there are churches that are planted in this city, not just Restoration City Church. There are other churches that are in this city that are doing great things for God, that are having prayer meetings, that are building people up. We have Apostle Warren right down the street who is doing amazing things, and that's just one of the many churches in this city that are raising up men, women, and children who are standing for God. So what the enemy wants to do is he wants to send something contrary, something opposite, something to make us feel as though what we're doing is not working. And how many of you know that we cannot flow off of our feelings? We must flow off of the reality and the principles of God, because there's a difference between truth and feeling. Too many of us focus on our feelings, and our feelings are basically based upon what's happening.
Right.
One moment we can feel good, the next moment the wind blows, the weather changes, and guess what? We feel it bad. But the reality is God is still good in the midst of us feeling good and us feeling bad. But that's just a side note as we lead into the title of the sermon tonight. The sermon title for tonight is Repairers of the Breach. We as children of God must ensure that we are being repairers of the breach. I first heard this scripture when I was in college at Shaw University in Raleigh, North Carolina. Pastor Michael Cureton, Celebration Assembly of God in Chapel Hill, that was their theme scripture. And at that time, I didn't understand really what it meant. It was something that I latched onto. It's something that I constantly quoted. But I really did not understand the totality of what this scripture meant. It was not until a few weeks ago, as all of the chaos within the city of Reynoldsburg began to happen, that I really understood what this scripture meant, not just to the people it was written to, but what this scripture means to us in the body of Christ today. A breach. The dictionary defines a breach as an opening made by breaking down something solid, a gap, an alienation, an estrangement to take a place of someone missing or unable to act in an emergency, the breaking of a promise. That's what the dictionary says. But what does our Bible tell us that a breach is? Our Bible tells us that a breach is a bursting forth, or a breach, a transgression, or the breaking of trust. That's what the Bible says it is. We are called to be repairers of that said breach. But the first thing that I had to notice as I began to research this scripture was, are we willing to admit that there is a breach? As the body of Christ, are we willing to admit that with all the praying we've done, with all the mega churches we have in this city, with all the preaching, teaching, rolling around on the floor, throwing of oil, all these great things, which I don't have a problem with all of that, is there still a breach in our city?
Is there still a breach in our homes? Is there still a breach in our schools? Is there still a breach within this city? Once we take a position to acknowledge that, yes, there is a breach, then we can further understand what the scripture is asking us to do. It's asking us to be what? A repairer of the breach. If I'm a mechanic and I want to go fix a Cadillac, what must I first have in order to fix the Cadillac? A couple of things. Somebody throw something out here. You must have knowledge of the Cadillac. Not only do you have to have knowledge of that Cadillac, you must have the right tools to fix that Cadillac.
That's right.
So there are a lot of us in the body of Christ who want to say, I'm ready to be a repairer of the breach. I'm ready to get on the battlefield. I'm ready to do great things for God. But we have not taken the time to even research what is that breach. What is it going to take to rectify that breach? And do I have the tools to fix it? Am I qualified enough to fix it? Because guess what? Although we are one body, we are many members.
Right.
And the reality is that there are too many of us in the body of Christ that are in positions that we just shouldn't be in, that we are not trained or equipped to be in. Yes, you might have a desire to go out and fix that Cadillac. You want to do it. Your heart is pure. You really want to do it. You want to be a blessing. But if you are not a certified mechanic to fix Cadillacs, you are going to do more damage to that vehicle than you are going to do benefit. And there are a lot of us within the body of Christ right now that are doing more damage to others than we are if we had sat down and put ourselves in the position to learn what we are here for.
That's right.
Not only do we have to learn what we are here for, but once we learn what we're here for, have we invested in the tools to do what we are called to do?
That's good.
I'm not going to hire nobody to come in my house and to fix my electricity. And they come in and go, well, hey, you got a wrench? You got a screwdriver? I need this, that, and no. If you call yourself an electrician, when you step foot in my house, you should be equipped with everything you need to fix my issue.
Right.
If I call myself a pastor, when I walk on the scene, I should be equipped and endowed by the Holy Spirit with everything that I need to fix the situation.
Right.
If I call myself a teacher, when I walk in the room, I should have all of the knowledge and the resources that I need to teach the people that God has sent me. How dare us call ourselves things and put ourselves in positions that we have not equipped ourselves to be in?
That's right.
That is why there are so many people who are turning to Islam. I know men who love Jesus, yet will sit at a mosque and listen to wonderful brothers from the Nation of Islam preach and teach out of the Quran, not because they believe it, but because there is passion, there is power, there is education, and there is a strength of these men who are teaching.
Right.
Where is our power in the Christian church? Right. Where is our strength in the Christian church? Where is our knowledge in the Christian church? Now, let me tell you, I'm not talking about every church because there's some good churches out there. But as a whole, where are we equipped to get on the battlefield and do warfare for our God? Or if we get on the battlefield, are we going to end up POWs, prisoners of war?
Come on now.
Repair. To put in good condition again, to mend, to make up for our remedy. Repair, as the Bible teaches us, is to renew, to restore, to heal, or to bring about restoration. When I think about a breach, it is either a breach of a contract or the breaching of a city wall by an army. God's word covers several meanings of breach, okay? How many of you know God is a God that covers a lot of different things, right? Which is why I'm a sidebar here, which is why as a minister, as a preacher, as an evangelist, as an apostle, whatever you want to call yourself, you can't just take a scripture and tell people what you think it means.
Right.
I'm going to need you to use the tools we talked about,
right.
Use the Holy Spirit that God has given us, and interpret that word rightly. Now, I get that to y'all free. Because with all this Periscope out there, all this Instagram, all this Facebook, we got folk out here saying a bunch of stuff that make no sense. But guess what? You got folk following them
right.
Because I don't want a sidebar. You got folks following them because these fools out here are speaking with a level of confidence even though they're wrong.
Right.
But then we got people in the body of Christ who are 100% right that don't have a level of confidence. And so even when they speak the truth, the world doesn't believe them because they're going, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer. I'm not going to believe you.
Right.
You know, God can bring about health and wealth. Well, you sick and broke.
Right.
You teaching me about health and wealth, and you sick and broke? That don't make no sense. Mm. Gotta have a level of confidence. Evidence, right? Evidence. Mm. But back to what I'm saying. I'm Jesus. Exodus 22:9 says this: for every breach of trust, whether it is for an ox, for a donkey, for a sheep, for clothing, or for any lost thing about which one says, this is it. The case of both parties shall come before the judges. He whom the judges condemn shall pay double to his neighbor. God took a strong stance on a breach of trust. In the Exodus account, the breach would be taking what does not belong to you. And there are a lot of us in the body of Christ that are taking things that don't belong to us. That are taking positions that don't belong to us. That are taking stances that don't belong to us. But how about had you stayed your lane? Mm-hmm. When you stay your lane, when you trust God, let me tell you something. I know what God has called me to. Mm-hmm. And although I can flow in the totality of all of the giftings per se, mm-hmm. there is a certain place that God's called me to. And I have to get, or had to get, to a position in my personal relationship with God to go, I know that you've called me to flow in these areas.
Right.
But because you've not called me to flow in these other areas, I must bring a level of honor and a level of respect
right.
to other men and women of God who flow in that area.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot get jealous. I cannot get frustrated. I cannot be envious that I can't flow that way because what are we? One body, but many members.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going to repair a breach, if I'm going to be part of an army, if I'm going to get on a battlefield, I got to understand from a military standpoint, if I am not a medic, I don't need to be in nobody's hospital room.
That's right.
If I'm not a doctor or a medic, I don't need to be cutting nobody open trying to fix them. No. If I am an electrical engineer, I don't need to be in the kitchen trying to cook.
That's right.
I need to be where God wants me to be, and it does not make me less of a person when I tell somebody, no, I'm staying in the lane that God put me in. Don't push me. Don't move me out of where
right.
God told me to be, because the very people that try to push you out of your lane will be the same ones that talk about you and the same ones that put you down because you step out of the lane, even though they told you to go there.
Right.
Stay where God told you to stay. I keep getting off of my notes, Lord. Let me get back to my notes. Help me, Holy Spirit. Psalms 106:19-23. I'm going to try to run through this. They made a calf in Horeb and worshiped a golden image. Thus they changed their glory into the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, awesome things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen one, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he destroy them. In this particular moment, this breach was a place where Moses stood between God and Israel to intercede. Had Moses not stepped in, God's wrath would have gone forth and destroyed the entire nation.
That's right.
In fact, God told Moses that he would use Moses to create another new nation. What we have to understand is that we, after you seek God, after you seek the Holy Spirit, we are sometimes going to be put in a position to literally stand in the middle of chaos. To literally stand in the middle of what's wrong. To literally stand in the middle of just pure filthiness. Not to get dirty, not to get messy, but we are standing in the gap for those who don't know to stand in the gap for themselves. There are some people out here in this world, even in the church, that come to church every Sunday but have no idea how to call upon the name of Jesus. They have no idea how to speak in tongues. They have no idea how to cast out a devil or how to call down fire from heaven, how to build an altar, how to do the things that our Bible says. So there are sometimes those who are a little more wiser, those who are a little more invested in the word of God, have to stand in the gap in order to make sure that we preserve a place for them.
Yes.
Instead of us sitting back judging them, saying, oh, you should have done this, you should have done that, you should have known better. No, how about I stand in the gap and I put myself in a position to block the very thing that you're ignorant of?
Yes.
But when we do that, we don't get the honor. God gets the honor.
Yes.
The God in us gets the honor. Mm-hmm. And we are able to save an entire nation. When we say nation, some of us think about these days, but guess what? The Robinson family is a nation.
That's right.
The Jordan family is a nation.
That's right.
The Fluala family is a nation. So each of us have been put in a position to ensure that our nation continues to go forward.
That's right.
But there are too many of us out here worrying about everybody else's nation instead of our own.
That's right.
I said it, I believe it was the last week I said it here. I said, I don't care if only my family shows up to this church. I said, because I'd rather save my family. Two of my brothers last week rededicated their lives to Christ.
Right, right.
I take more joy in those two rededications, I'm sorry, I got to be honest, than 100 folk off the street. Right. Not because I don't value those who are on the street, but because my brothers who see me daily,
right,
my brothers who interact with me on a regular basis,
right,
still came to Christ after knowing me.
Right.
Still rededicated their life after seeing me. I'm not perfect, but they're able to see the growth in the progression in my life, so I save my nation.
Mm-hmm.
But watch this. If each of us put ourselves in a position to save our own nation, to save our own family, to save, we would not have the need for all of these crusades.
Right.
Now, I thank God for the crusades. I do. But if we stopped worrying about everybody else and worrying about the very people we see every day, we would be in a better position, and we wouldn't have as many breaches as we currently have.
That's right.
In the book of Isaiah, we see another side of a breach, a side of restoration and repair. And that's where we're going today. Isaiah 58:9-11. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke, hallelujah, from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness. We talked about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I ain't going to call no names, because the Holy Spirit ain't led me to. But there is more finger pointing,
yes,
more tearing down.
Yes.
More backbiting, more lying in the Christian church sometimes I feel than in the world. I know people in the world that have a better code of ethics and a level of respect and honor than some in the church.
That's right.
And guess what? I had some indiscretions. I wasn't always ethical. But thank God for salvation and restoration.
Right.
But what began to burden me is when I went through my ethical dilemmas, I found out that it was other folk in the church that had planted the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
It was other folk that I had watched and saw in the church mess around and do dirt that opened my eyes and opened to flow how they flow. That is why we have to be careful what we say.
That's right.
Careful what we do.
That's right.
Careful how we interact and how we maneuver. Because you never know who's watching. You never know who has got their eyes on you, who will never step foot in a church, but might watch your Facebook posts, but might watch your Instagram posts, but might watch your Periscopes and take every single order or direction from you. The pointing of the finger and the speaking wickedness. And if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness and your gloom will become like midday. And the Lord will continually guide you. Don't you want to be guided by the Lord?
Yeah.
And satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones, and you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Verse number 12, this right here is the main point of this entire message. Those from among you. We posed this question a few months ago. And we said that every person within this church, but I still believe the entire body of Christ, must understand and have a theology of place. Where has God called me? Mm-hmm. A theology of people. Who has God called me to? Mm-hmm. In a theology of purpose, what have I been called to? Because when you understand those three things, you will begin to create a people that shall come from among you.
That's right.
In every church, every person, I'm not just going to say pastor, every person, right? Mm-hmm. Because even on your job, as a child of God, you'll begin to develop a following, right?
Right.
You'll begin to get people who sit at your desk, your table at lunch every day. While you're reading your word, while you're listening to your podcast, they'll come sit with you. And you'll begin to talk with them, okay? You'll begin to impart into them that there, they're going to come from among you, okay?
Right.
Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations. And you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets, or in the King James Version, it says paths. Have to dwell in. Somebody say repairer of the breach.
Repairer of the breach.
This is an amazing view of breach, right? God takes the nation to task for their self-centeredness. He brings them to the table for their selfishness, their selfish approach to life, and even the fasting. Does that sound like our country today? Does that sound like our church today? To when we are very self-righteous. But we're so self-motivated to where I'm only going to fast if everybody knows I'm fasting. I'm only going to fast when I can put it on Facebook. Oh, I've been fasting for 20 days and I've been with the Lord and I woke up in the middle of the night and saw an angel sitting on my desk and, you know, all that stuff. Come on, you know they got some crazy stuff out there. But this is my thing. Y'all keep sidebarring me, man. Listen, it was about they were selfish. They lived selfish lives. And how many of you know that when you live a selfish life, that opens the door for sin? A selfish life opens the door for the enemy to come in and to wreak havoc. Because when all you're worried about is you, you begin to do things without loving your neighbor as yourself. You begin to do things without loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Okay? He points out that there are ways to fast, okay? He said, listen, how you live your life, that can lead you to a place that is pleasing to the Lord. It revolves around a choice to invest into people's lives through a change of heart. How many lives are we investing in? I don't care if we're at church 7 days a week. Are we here for our own selfish reason? Are we here to get something from God? Are we here to go, Lord, I need a new car. I need a new house. Now, guess what? Y'all know I'm a prosperity preacher, so I believe he'll give you a new car and a new house. But guess what? You get that from being in the blessing of God.
Amen.
You don't get that from begging him and asking him. You get that from being selfless. You get that from saying, God, I'm going to pursue you with all my heart. And if you give me these things, I thank you for them. But even if you don't, which he will. But even if you don't, God, I'm still going to be here. I'm still going to serve you. I'm still going to get fed and equipped to go out and be a blessing to everybody else. I'm not here for my own selfish reason. We must make sure that our lives are pleasing to God. That we are flowing with a heart change as opposed to wearing sackcloth, we call it a sackcloth and ashes for an outward appearance. Mm-hmm. How many of you, oh my God, I think Bishop Williams said on one of his periscopes, he said, he was in a restaurant and some guy came in with a prayer cloth on and the prayer cloth was dirty, had dirt all around his neck, and he going around, praise the Lord, everybody, this, that, and the other. I don't got a problem with it. But could you not have that same effect without your dirty prayer cloth on? Is your knife not wrapped in prayer? Come on. But too many of us want to put our clergy collars on, want to be all suited and booted with our cossacks on just to get some notoriety and some attention. How about you get your notoriety and attention for being in your secret prayer closet with God?
Come on now. That's good right there.
God reveals their hearts to what they were actually doing and not what they thought that they were doing. Isaiah 58 verse 3 says this. Why have we fasted and you do not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? Behold, on the day of your fast, you find your desire and drive hard all your workers. Behold, you fast for contention and strife and to strike with a wicked fist. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. Okay, so what we can actually see and what we can actually be actual repairs of the breach. Absolutely. We can do it, right? How many of you believe that? Amen. We can be repairs of the breach. It is a matter of intercession coupled with action.
Yes.
Not only is it about interceding, not only is it about praying, because there is a prayer movement and I thank God for it. There is a prayer movement sweeping throughout this entire world, especially this city and this nation. And I thank God that there are preachers and there are pastors who are calling people's heart back to prayer. But after we get back to prayer and we get to a place of intercession, how many people are coupling their intercession with action? Are you just praying, rolling around in the floor, having a good time, going home and going to sleep? Or are you praying, putting yourself in a position to hear from heaven, get a strategic strategy from heaven, take that strategy, begin to put some people together behind that strategy, and then move to action? Because every time we see people in our Bible begin to seek God, they don't just seek God to seek God. They seek God so that they can put their feet to the pavement and change something. Intercession must be coupled with what? Action. There are so many breaches today. God can use us to repair these breaches, and his repair is focused on renewal, restoration, and healing. It is what Jesus would have us to do. We can easily choose our five breaches that need repair. You don't got to search far to find a breach.
Right.
You don't got to search far to find a issue, a community, a person, a cause that needs you to rise up and to change it. At the end of the day, we understand that Jesus Christ was a man of action. Mm-hmm. Not only did he talk a good game, he walked that game out, right? Mm-hmm. But guess what? Sometimes he didn't even have to say a word. But how many of us, we want to be, ain't got no power, ain't doing nothing. Because we have not coupled our intercession with our action. We just want to be with our sackcloth and ashes, like we holy. But we have to make sure that we have searched out, what am I put on this earth to repair?
That's right.
Because you would not have been birthed in this world without a purpose. God would not have wasted his time getting your mama and your daddy together, forming you in the womb, giving you a purpose to have you be birthed. Let me tell you something. I don't remember the last count, but I was at 30 million abortions, I think it has been 30-some million abortions, I believe, since Roe versus Wade. And I'd be, somebody check me on Google, I might be wrong, but you get the gist. We wasn't one of them. We were not aborted. We were not, oh Jesus, don't say that, Lord. I'm sorry, Father. We were not taken out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We were allowed in grace to hit this earth. And you got to understand that because you were allowed and blessed to grace this earth, you better find a breach to repair. You better find a purpose to search after, because there is a God in heaven, there is a resurrected Jesus Christ, and there is a Holy Spirit on this earth that have all put in work to make sure that you're here. Are we willing to put in work? Are we willing to get on the battlefield and repair the breach that God has called us to? It does not mean start a church. And guess what? I believe we need a lot more churches. At the end of the day, y'all know my philosophy. I'm in 43068. That's where God called me. First off, you want to start a church? Know where God has called you. Hear that. Because when he calls you for a reason, and he gives you a gifting for that area. Sidebar. You'll get that for free. All right? But on the reverse side of that, you got to be disciplined, because guess what? If somebody set up, I got a church above me. Am I jealous? Am I envious? 86% of Columbus and vicinity do not have a church. We could each have 20,000 and there would still be millions of people not church. But when you know your purpose, when you are in a position to say, I am being a repairer of the breach for this particular reason, this is my area, this is my flow, this is what God has called me to, I'm not worried about nobody else over here, I'm going to stay my lane, guess what, we might even partner. We might even get together, because that's your flow, that's my flow, we're going to flow together, okay? But when you begin to do that, that is when the heavens open up and God begins to send out the very things that you need. Too many of us are wondering why God's not blessing us, why we don't got the money, why we don't got this, why we don't got that. I tell you right now, Pastor Jay, I don't even worry about no money. Wonder why? Because we are where we're supposed to be. At the end of the day, whether it's one person in here or whether 100 people, we won't be good. Because we are in the position that God called us to be. He ain't called me to the north side. My daddy on 43219. He stay over there. That's good. I'm at 43068. But when we talk about being a repairer of the breach, you must know where God has called you to. And once you know that, it changes everything. Y'all follow me? The scripture in Isaiah 58 really describes our culture. A culture of self-centeredness, greed, and the breaking of covenants. We desperately need to stand in intercession as Moses did before God. But not only do we need to stand in intercession, I keep on repeating because we got to get it. We need to flow in action. Proverbs, the 24th chapter. The 11th verse says this. Deliver those who are being taken away to death, and those who are staggering to slaughter. Oh, hold them back. If you say, we did not know this, does he not consider who weighs the hearts? And does he not know it who keeps your soul? And will he not render to man according to his work? As I studied the scripture and reread the scripture over and over, my heart was deeply touched. And the reason is because there are too many Christians who have been hurt by words and actions done in the name of Jesus Christ. Breaches have been open in their lives, and they are struggling greatly to reestablish their direction and their faith. They have seen trust being broken in fellowship, in leadership, in family. However, we can be there for them to minister to them, to help them find their way back. That is why we must raise up apostolic houses.
That's right.
Apostolic houses that flow in power and flow in authority, that have the ability to command a region, to have the ability to go in and to assess what is the strong man in this city. Because the strong man on Tussing and Bryce Road is not the same strong man on Morris and Carl. But if we are not in the right position of intercession, we won't be given the direction for action. And then what do we have? I said this a few weeks ago, and people challenged me on it, that you must have a purpose before you have a passion. Some people say, well, no, I can have passion without a purpose. Yeah, you could. But if you have passion without purpose, you're going to be running around in a circle like a chicken with your head cut off, burning energy because you're going after any and everything that looks good. When you have a purpose and you sought God in prayer and he's given you a particular purpose in a particular vein, anything that comes along that looks good but is not in accordance with that purpose, you're not going to do. The passion will not allow you to step out of the purpose. But if you just flow in passion, you going anywhere, everywhere. That's why you get some people who just, every time you see them, they're like this. In a circle. Just going, going, going. But they ain't doing nothing. They ain't accomplishing nothing. Always talking, ain't done nothing. It's because they've not discovered their purpose. They got passion, just running around. Okay? Mm-hmm. But we are in the position right now to be repairers of the breach. We all have an assignment, and we all have a call from God. that we have to adhere to, that we have to acknowledge, that we have to understand. Hear, understand, acknowledge. Once we do that, then we will be given the tools that we need to accomplish it. There are too many of us out here trying to buy tools, trying to get tools, trying to get resources, trying to get knowledge, yet you don't know what you're supposed to do.
Right.
If I'm going to repair a Cadillac, right, I got to understand that I'm about to repair a Cadillac. I then do the research on how to repair that Cadillac. I'm not going to research how to fix a Ford if I'm trying to get a Cadillac. I'm not going to go buy a bunch of tools for a Ford that's not going to work in a Cadillac. Simple, but that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
And that is where too many of us are in the body of Christ. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know what breaches ours to repair. Seek God and ask Him, Father, what would you have me to do? And once He tells you what to do, shut up and do it. I don't mean to be rude, but there's too many deaths. 43068 is my city. What, it's been 7 in 2 weeks? We don't got any more time to talk. This is time to pray and get an action plan, because the enemy is plotting. He is strategic. And while we over here dancing and shucking and jiving, throwing oil on folk, the enemy in the parking lot slashing tires, breaking windows out on our houses. And we just, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, y'all know I love worship. I love praise. But at what point does that worship and praise provoke you to change? At what point do all these church services provoke you to be a repairer of the breach? And this is my last scripture as I close. Jude 1:20. It says this: "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life, and having mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh." One of the greatest things that I ever got was the ability to speak in tongues. Prior to receiving that gift, I didn't understand what it was for. You would see people in church speak in tongues and all this different stuff, and it was confusing, honestly. But when you begin to understand what it's for, it is a level of power that every believer is entitled to. And when we are going to repair the breach, we must make sure that we are putting ourselves in a position to daily, when we get home, when we are in our homes, and we begin to pray our own selfish prayers. We all do it. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. Come on, we do it.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be sacrificial and begin to pray in the Holy Spirit and begin to put our city on our heart. Because if each of us goes in our particular prayer closet where we live, right, and we pray in the Holy Spirit with our city on our heart, we are praying mystery. We are praying perfect prayers, and we will be binding strong men, principalities, princes of darkness in our area that we have no idea about, because our physical mind can't comprehend. But our spirit understands. And when we pray in the Holy Spirit, imagine if every believer went home and prayed in the Holy Spirit for their city, how much crime would be stopped. The city of Reynoldsburg is known for human trafficking, sex trafficking. Imagine if every believer in the city of Reynoldsburg took a half an hour, to sit and to pray in the Holy Spirit with this city on their heart. Do you know how many children will be set free?
how many traffickers will be caught, how many drug addicts will be loosed from drug addiction, how many drug dealers will lose their desire to sell drugs. It's simple. It's easy. But we make it complex. We are called to be repairers of the breach. We must move from just intercession to action. Once we get in a position of action, that action is backed up by our purpose, understanding our purpose. After you understand your purpose, then comes passion. When you have purpose and passion, you pray, you're moving to action, then the windows of heaven open up and will give you every resource you need, every person you need, every single tangible thing you need is because you will not draw back. When you have conviction and you know that this is your breach to repair, you are not going to stop until it's repaired. But if you got somebody else's breach, you might give up. You work for somebody else's stuff, you might give up, but you know God called you to something.
Mm-hmm.
You will complete that thing, come hell or high water. Well, let us pray. Father, we just bless you. We thank you right now for just another opportunity, God, that we have been blessed to just hear your word, Father, that we have been blessed to get a rhema, Father, a living word, Lord God. And right now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we just pray for our respective cities, Lord God. We pray for the city of Reynoldsburg, Lord God, where Restoration City Church is, Lord. We just raise up a standard right now, Lord God. We call upon every child of God, every tongue-talking Christian to begin to put themselves in a position, Lord God, to intercede for this city, Father, to intercede for families, to intercede for children, to intercede for very strangers, Lord God, that their lives would be spared, Father, that they would be in a position to where someone would come about, when they would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, when they would understand the power that they have been given based upon the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Father. We just speak right now, Lord God, that you are raising up a generation, Lord God, that will stand for righteousness, Father, a generation that will get on the battlefield, Father, and will arm themselves, God, with the word of God, not just from a spiritual standpoint, Father, but that we will be strong in the spirit, but we would also be strong in the flesh, Father God, not afraid to withstand the wiles of the devil, not afraid to go into cities and to go into communities and go into territories, God, and to say what thus saith the Lord, God. Give us a spirit, Father, a spirit of Joshua, Lord God, to go in and to conquer whoever you tell us to conquer, to go in and to rid out every devil, every demon, every principality, every strong man. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you right now, Father, because we know that you have called us, that you have predestined us, that you have strengthened us, Lord God, to move to another level in you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.